muted.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by. Good afternoon and welcome to the Heathrow Results for 3 months ended 31st of March 2015 webinar. Throughout the call, all participants will be in a listen-only mode, and afterwards there will be a question and answer session. Just to remind you, this conference call is being recorded. Today I'm pleased to present John Holland-Kay, CEO. Please begin your meeting, sir.
Well, thank you, and welcome everyone to this quarter one Heathrow results presentation. I am here at Heathrow with Andrew Ethiong, who many of you will know, our treasurer, who is acting CFO, and I also have Anne Hearn here with us as well, in case we have any really challenging questions that even Andrew can't answer. I'm just going to run through the operational highlights and ask Andrew to cover the financial performance, and then I'll just wrap up with how we're doing with our strategy, and we're very welcome to take any questions at the end. And if you're following remotely, you can view the presentation through the link on the invitation or directly on our website. So let me start with slide three, which is headed a strong start to 2015. And actually, it's been a fantastic start to 2015, operationally, financially, strategically. Once more, we welcomed more passengers than ever, and we've been able to further improve the service we offer while starting to get our underlying costs under control. So quite a challenging management issue, but I'm very pleased with the way that that has been going so far. We've again beaten the other European hubs in service standards, and the latest figures show that 82% of passengers said we were excellent or very good in quarter one 2015. Just to give you some context, only 7 years or so ago, that number would have been 42%. So that really gives you an indication of the transformation in service we've seen here at Heathrow. And just a few weeks ago, we were voted by passengers at the 2015 Skytrax Awards as the best airport in Western Europe. That's the first time we've received that accolade. And at the same time, we received a number of other awards. So very pleased to see that we're delivering service as well as managing higher passenger volumes and tackling costs. Financial performance has been good, great revenue performance with all our income streams. Revenue is up 8% to £622 million, and EBITDA up 7.2% at £342 million. We've continued to have demand for investment in Heathrow. We have raised £850 million already globally in public and private markets, and that's allowing us to put a good long-term global financing base in place. And we have a lot going on strategically, as well as the service improvements. We're really developing a stronger service culture within the organization. And that'll stand us in good stead whether we are successful with our plans to expand the airport or we are not. And we will hear quite soon from the Airports Commission as to whether we get the go-ahead with that. Expansion of Heathrow, as we've said before, is the best outcome for Britain. I think the economic case is now overwhelming, but we're also getting very strong support from local people, from businesses, from politicians, and most recently London First, which is an employers' organisation in London, overwhelmingly voted, their members voted for Heathrow as the right expansion option, and that's following in the footsteps of the CBI and the Institute of Directors members over the last few months. So we're in a good place. We can't take anything for granted, but we are looking for swift action from the government after this election. So let me just move on to slide four, which is traffic volume. And growth this year has come from both long-haul and short-haul passengers. In long-haul, it continues to be a combination of more flights and increases in the numbers of seats on the mature routes we have, as well as growth in emerging markets. Just an example of that, last year Avianca opened up their routes to Bogota in Colombia. That's going very well. More recently, and probably too early to figure in these numbers, we were delighted to welcome Vietnam Airlines, who are flying to two destinations in Vietnam, and they moved their London base from Gatwick to Heathrow so they could benefit from the direct demand at Heathrow and the West London catchments that we offer, but also the transfer flows that are only available at Heathrow as a hub airport, and that's an important opportunity for them, sharing facilities with their SkyTeam partners in Terminal 4. Growth in short-haul mainly came from British Airways, who've increased the number of seats on their short-haul planes. That's their densification program, and that's been running faster than we had expected and driving more European traffic. We have the busiest Easter on record. We actually had the busiest day ever in Terminal 5 with nearly 55,000 departing passengers. That happened to coincide with the anniversary of the opening day in Terminal 5. And just to give you some sense, if we had our busiest day every day of the year, we would be handling something of the order of 90 million passengers a year as opposed to the 73.9 million passengers a year that we are currently forecasting. Having said that, I think that we are likely to see overall traffic for 2015 exceeding the 73.9 million passengers that we guided. Just moving on to slide 5, here we're showing growth at Heathrow in the first quarter of this year with our European hub competitors, and you can see that they are all growing ahead of us, and that really shows how much untapped potential there is. Heathrow should be the natural winner among the European hubs. We're better located for North and South America and just as well located for Asia for international long-haul passengers. And, of course, we've got the strength of the London market, and that just shows what the potential is if we are able to have more slots here at Heathrow. We have about 30 airlines who would like to either operate from Heathrow or increase the number of services they have here. One significant airline I should mention there is EasyJet, who are currently Gatwick's largest operator. They've announced that they would like to have 68 new routes for them served out of Heathrow if Heathrow is allowed to expand. And that will include quite a number of new destinations altogether, as well as bringing more competition and choice onto some existing routes. So let me move on to slide 6, where we just give an overview of what's happening in performance. And this is showing that, as I mentioned earlier, 82% of passengers rated Heathrow as excellent or very good. That puts us clearly in the top quartile of major European airports. And we've been delivering good improvements across a number of areas. Some of this, of course, is down to the facilities we have with Terminal 5 and Terminal 2 and the investment we've put into other terminals. But it's also about improving the way in which we manage passenger flows across the airport, trying to remove bottlenecks. So we've seen a big investment in the security lanes in all of our terminals, but also in the way in which we manage security and getting putting more investment into training and management within those areas, improving cleanliness around the airport, and that is certainly starting to pay off. I think there's a lot more that we can do, and we'll be working on that as well. If you've been traveling through, I hope you will see some of the benefits of that. In terms of punctuality and baggage performance, you'll see that these are slightly down, both of them, on where we were this time last year. That's actually largely driven by inbound arrivals punctuality. If a plane comes in late, then it's much harder to make the connections for baggage, and it's much harder to get a quick turnaround for the departing flight. And this year we've seen more incidents happening at outstations, whether in North America, air traffic control strikes in France, which have contributed to a lower inbound punctuality. What I would say, though, is that on days where we've had disruption, we've typically had better punctuality and baggage performance than the same days last year. And on days which have been good, we've had better levels of punctuality and baggage performance, too. One example of the things we're doing to deliver that is time-based separation, which is something which allows us to reduce the distance between planes coming into land on very windy days. It's very safe. It's been tested with the CAA. We've just been trialing it recently. And what that allows us to do is to land three planes in the time that we would normally be able to land two. And you can quickly understand the improved passenger service that goes with that, the reduced knock-on effects of delays and cancellations, and the lower fuel burn for airlines. So it's a real benefit to passengers and customers and helps us to improve punctuality. Let me move on over the page, on page 7, to some of the other investments we've been making. Probably the most significant one that we have opened just now is the new Terminal 3 integrated baggage facility. What this is effectively doing is having a single baggage system between Terminal 3 and Terminal 5. This is the heart of our hub operation. Terminal 3 and Terminal 5 are the homes of British Airways, which is our main base carrier, so most of the transfer flows between terminals happen between Terminal 3 and Terminal 5. This is a project we've been working on for some time. It's a £500 million investment in a state-of-the-art semi-automated system. By semi-automated, I mean that we have robots which help to fill the cans rather than people. And this is something we've launched with British Airways. We're having a series of other airlines moving into the system. It's been going very well so far. And the overall airline move will complete in about this time next year, when I think Virgin is the last airline to have all of its operations moved into it. And what we're seeing already is a reduction in the misconnections, faster transfer times, and more baggage handling capacity, which is helping to improve service for passengers, helping to reduce costs for the airlines. And just to give you a sense, typically within a terminal, it might take between 15 and 20 minutes for a bag to be in the baggage system to get from one gate to another. We've got bags that are transferred from Terminal 5 to Terminal 3 in exactly the same time, 17 minutes. So that just gives you a sense for how quickly we can now move bags around the system, and now we want to make sure we can move passengers around the system as well. A few other things we've been working on: parallel loading for security lanes in Terminal 4 and Terminal 5. This means that when you are taking off your jacket, putting your bag into one of the plastic trays, if someone else is taking some time in front of you, you can offload your items at the same time, and that will speed up your flow through the terminal. That's leading to some of the highest flow rates through security that we've ever had. We're also in the process of adding more security lanes into Terminal 5 just to make sure that we can deliver good, consistent service through there. We're continuing to improve the airfield. We now have 30 A380 stands. We've just opened a few more in Terminal 4 to cope with the growth of passenger planes. We're now actually up to 19 A380 services a day coming into Heathrow. And of course, these stands can be used for other planes as well as A380s. It just gives us more flexibility as the airline business changes. And there's lots of other things we're doing. We've opened a new Terminal 5 business car park. That's going very well. And other people are investing across the airport to improve service. A good example would be Singapore Airlines, who just opened their Chris Lounge in Terminal 2 Satellite, and that's a fantastic addition to passenger service at Heathrow. So there's a quick overview of some of the things we've been doing. I'll just pass on to Andrew to cover the financial hub.
Thanks, John, and thanks to all for joining our Q1 results call today. I'll now spend a few minutes talking through our financial performance in what has been a strong first quarter for the business. Starting with the overall highlights, broad-based growth helped us deliver nearly 50 million or 8% year-on-year increase in revenue in the quarter. And that, combined with increasing evidence of our cost efficiencies coming through, has seen EBITDA growing over 30 million year-on-year. Turning to the balance sheet, our debt evolution over the quarter is mainly reflective of seasonally lower cash flows and also higher coupon payments in the first quarter. I will elaborate on each of these themes through the coming slides. So turning firstly to revenues on slide 10. Our aeronautical revenue growth came from a 1% headline tariff change for 2015 and traffic. This accounted for around half the growth. Absence of capital triggers this year and also the non-repeat of the K factor also significantly contributed to the growth from last year. Looking at retail, we're very encouraged by the early year performance, which has reflected not only good passenger volumes, but also strong growth in income per passenger. John talked about the new 800-space car park for Terminal 5 business customers. Opening of this new facility, together with the award-winning Terminal 2 multi-story car park in operation since June 2014, and a series of initiatives to manage product range and yield, drove a 9% increase in car parking income. We're also seeing excellent growth in luxury retail, reflecting the benefit of our targeted investment made in Terminal 5's luxury retail offering that was relaunched at the end of 2014. We're currently implementing further refurbishment to retail that should further enhance the earnings potential of our retail business. The net result has been a strong 5.6% year-on-year increase in net retail income per passenger. That compares with the 5.2% growth required to hit our 2015 full-year targets set out in the December 2014 investor report. Moving on to look at the cost side of the business. Reported figures reflect the fact we're still in the first year since opening of Terminal 2, as well as a net additional 5 million of spend on expansion-related activities. Terminal 2 costs are reported across a range of cost lines, whilst the cost of expansion activities are reported under general expenses. Taking these into account, our underlying cost performance is below 1% year-on-year, 0.8%, reflecting our cost efficiency program becoming increasingly evident in our reported results. This underlying performance is even stronger if you take into account operational readiness costs, as well as one month of operating costs relating to the new Terminal 3 integrated baggage system that John mentioned earlier in the presentation. John will come back at the end and provide more insight on progress with our cost efficiency program. We expect to see the reported rate of growth in operating costs taper through the rest of 2015, reflecting three factors, namely cycling over the first anniversary of opening Terminal 2, the efficiency program continuing to bite, and also when we close Terminal 1, which has been brought forward to the end of June. Looking at slide 12, with our strong operating performance, we generated 316 million of cash from operations. This offset most of the capital investments and interest costs for the period. The rise in net debt reflects Q1 being characterized by relatively high coupons and distributions and seasonally lower cash flow. Just to provide some context, Q1 2014 accounted for 34% of annual interest paid and only 21% of annual operating cash flow. On to slide 13, we move from looking at quarterly cash flow to annual cash flow, and I just wanted to reemphasize that already in 2014, Heathrow moved into a cash-generative position after capital investment and interest, and this positive development should gain further momentum in the rest of Heathrow's current regulatory period. This reflects our strong EBITDA base and a more modest capital program. Turning to recent developments in our gearing position on slide 14. The movement in gearing since 2014 year-end firstly reflect the cash flow seasonality I just touched on. However, it also reflects the lower regulatory asset base versus year-end, which reflects a combination of regulatory depreciation exceeding capital investment and also the current low inflation environment. On that, our strong focus on capital structure management means we are comfortable we can manage the effects of the low inflation environment on gearing. Firstly, we continue to have substantial headroom to trigger and covenant levels across our different tranches of debt. Secondly, in recent months, we have raised additional funding at both Class B and Heathrow Finance levels that mean we can dynamically manage gearing across the different levels of our capital structure. To wrap up on financial matters with developments on debt financing on slide 15. Heathrow is by a significant margin the largest wholly privately financed airport in the world. Nevertheless, we have deliberately looked to further enhance the resilience, diversity, and duration of our debt financing platform in the year to date. We benefited from buoyant conditions in the euro market to complete a 750 million euro bond in February, which at 15 years was long-dated for that market. It was great to see strong participation in the transaction from all parts of the continent. We've also been busy in the private placement market, including completing a 1 billion single investor Norwegian kroner transaction, but I'd particularly highlight the $150 million in 15 and 20-year private placements completed with two leading non-sterling-based global investors. As you can see, we've also undertaken some liability management of Heathrow Finance 2017 and 2019 bonds, which we have now completed. Overall, we're delighted by the continued strong global support for the Heathrow credit across multiple new markets. Finally, wrapping up before handing over to John, operational performance has been strong, and this carried on through our busiest Easter ever. The airport delivered fantastic service, and passengers are noticing. We have had continued record traffic, good financial performance with revenue growth across all streams, and operating cost initiatives starting to take effect. Demand to invest in Heathrow is buoyant. We have successfully raised $850 million this year. And given current traffic levels, we believe there is potential to outperform guidance for 2015. I'll now hand it back to John to wrap up.
Great, thank you, Andrew. And I just want to echo my thanks for the support that investors have shown for the business. And I hope that we are giving you the confidence that those are good and secure and well-managed investments. Let me just wrap up by going back to the ambition that I set out when I came in as chief exec 9 months ago and the four priorities that I laid out at that time. And we've actually updated our ambition slightly. We used to talk in terms of being Europe's hub of choice and the UK's direct connection to the world. We've now had about a year of being ahead of Amsterdam, who are our main rival for being Europe's hub of choice. And we felt it the right time to raise our ambition. And so we've changed our ambition to be to give passengers the best airport service in the world, which means that we want people to think of us in the same breath as Singapore and Hong Kong and some of the other great airports in the world from a passenger service point of view. And that's a very important differentiator. And it's important to us economically because the people who come through Heathrow have a choice about where they're going to be going, particularly the third of our passengers who are transfer passengers. And we want to make sure that we are building a reputation that Heathrow is a place you want to choose to go through. And that will help to drive increased passenger volumes and help to strengthen the business economically. So there's a very virtuous circle there to focusing on delivering good service. The four priorities I laid out, first, beating the plan. I've touched a little bit on some of the things that we've been doing around improving supplier terms. We have some other things coming up which we'll talk about over the next few months. One is that we are integrating the Heathrow Express office, which has been in Paddington, into our core Heathrow business. There'll be both cost and efficiency savings from doing that. But we want to make sure there's a seamless service between Heathrow Express as a key part for getting over 10% of passengers into the airport and the airport service they then receive. We've talked about closing Terminal 1. That will close to passengers on the 29th of June, and we will be mothballing that very quickly. That will deliver some additional savings of something of the order of £6 million in this year. And we also are just about to go out to consultation with around 4,000 current members of our workforce, current colleagues who are members of our defined benefits pension plan, and we will be proposing to them some changes to the defined benefit pension plan which will make it more sustainable for the long term, and those are changes that we have agreed with our unions, and there are a number of other changes we're just consulting on with our colleagues which have also been agreed with unions. So those haven't been easy conversations, but they've been very constructive, and we're working well with the unions and our colleagues to make sure we deliver an efficient, safe, and successful Heathrow. In terms of customer service, I've talked a little bit about some of the things we have done there. Over the next few months, we'll see further upgrades to our security, particularly around transfer security. We'll have a new flight connection centre opening in Terminal 3, which will give us more capacity. That again will help to have passengers moving as quickly as the bags will now be going. We're also adding another 4 lanes into Terminal 5 direct security, and starting work on a new transfer escalator, which will help to give us more flexibility in how we manage flows of transfer passengers through Terminal 5. One thing which I know has got a lot of interest is the new independent lounge in Terminal 5, which is opening in a couple of months' time. That'll be the first time we have had an independent offer for passengers, and that's part of our aim to make sure that we have a seamless journey for different types of passengers for business passengers, even if they're not travelling at the front of the plane, they can still enjoy some of the similar facilities. And we also have the next phase of our luxury retail upgrades going on in Terminal 5. The next phase includes the opening of the new Hermes store. So that'll be a great addition to the terminal alongside Louis Vuitton, who opened just before Christmas. And we should shortly be announcing another new luxury retailer, which will be going into Terminal 5, which will really reinforce Heathrow's position as being the place to go if you want to enjoy some retail therapy as you're traveling through the world. So another way of attracting both direct and transfer passengers to use Heathrow. Mojo, I've talked a little bit about. Let me just give you some examples of some of the things we've been doing. One of them is £10 vouchers. Every time we beat Amsterdam in the customer service rankings quarterly, we give all of our colleagues across the airport a £10 voucher so they can enjoy lunch on us, just as a little way of celebrating their success and encouraging them to keep on going. That's something that we introduced 9 months ago and has been very well received as an instant bit of feedback. We're going through a process of simplifying the grades. Some of them and some of the way in which we've managed HR have been still a legacy from when we were a government-owned business. We've been simplifying those and making us much more of a commercial organization. We've been doing lots of other small things which just make sure we're giving something back to our colleagues around the airport, because as you'll see from some of the cost changes we've been making, there have been some things we've been effectively taking away from people, and we want to make sure we're giving a good balance. So a small example of that is that after six and at weekends, colleagues with a Heathrow pass can travel free on Heathrow Express. And that costs us very little, but adds quite a lot of value to those colleagues who choose to take that up. Looking forward, we're doing a lot of management development. We're putting all of our frontline managers in security through a development program, and that's really paying off. And for some of them, it's the first time we've given them really good quality management training, and we're starting to see the benefit coming through in that, in the improved service standards that we get in security, and there's a lot more that we will be doing like that. But let me now come on to expansion, which is the fourth of our themes. And expansion for us is not the be-all and end-all. We have a plan that will still allow us to be a very strong and successful organization that still allows us to deliver the best airport service in the world if we aren't allowed to expand. But we can do so much more if we can expand. We've seen growing support nationally and locally from politicians, from businesses, from local people. We now want to get to a swift decision. And we're coming up to a key point. Probably in early June or maybe late May, we'll get a recommendation from the Airports Commission. We are hopeful then that we'll get a swift decision from government that they want to go ahead and support the recommendation. And then we are preparing ourselves to be able to get on and deliver that. We've got we've had a very good support from our shareholders. We've had a good response from the markets to support us, and we've got a very good track record of delivering this. And we've had very good engagement with local councils about how we can make sure that we deliver this in a very responsible way, minimizing the impact of noise, meeting air quality targets, and giving something back to the local community, particularly in the form of increased high-quality jobs at the airport. So we're working hard on all of those, so that we can really deliver a very successful expanded Heathrow by 2025 if we are chosen as the right outcome. I've just summarized on page 19 our key messages: that we're best for Britain, that we're back for Britain, we've had good support across the country. One change that we've seen as we go into the U.K. election is that where Heathrow expansion was a political issue in the manifestos 5 years ago, now it is not. There's support from the major parties behind the Airports Commission. Actually, there's a couple of the smaller parties who are backing Heathrow expansion themselves, which is very nice to see. The third message is that this is a new approach. We've listened to local communities, we've listened to politicians, we've changed our plans to meet their needs. Finally, we're ready to go. A quick decision, and we are keen to get on with this, and we've got the capability to do so. Those are our messages. I hope we all get the right answer in a month or so's time, but we will wait eagerly to see. That's all that we wanted to cover, but we're very happy to take any questions you might have. Operator, could we now open the lines to any questions?
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, if you do wish to register for an audio question, please press zero followed by the one on your telephone keypad. If you wish to withdraw your request, you may do so by pressing zero followed by the two to cancel. Once again, to register for a question, please press zero followed by the one on your telephone keypad. There will be a brief pause while questions are being registered. As another reminder, to register for a question, please press zero followed by the one on your telephone keypad now. There will be a further pause while questions are being registered. The first question comes from Dion Medina from JB Capital. Please go ahead. Your line is now open.
Yeah, good afternoon. I have two questions. The first one is on the pension consultation process that you mentioned. Just to make sure that I understood correctly, you have reached an agreement with the unions, and then this agreement is going to be voted by the membership. Is this the approach?
That's absolutely right. We've negotiated. This applies to both management and our frontline colleagues who are members of the defined benefit pension scheme, which is a closed scheme now to new members. There's about 4,000 people in it out of 6,500 people at Heathrow. We've reached agreement on a proposal with unions, and that will be going out to consultation shortly. We've announced that consultation will take place.
Okay. Can you quantify the difference between the current regime and the regime envisaged in the agreement with the unions?
We can certainly describe the changes that we're going to be consulting on. I don't know whether we can talk publicly about the quantities yet. I think probably we'll just outline the changes that we're making.
Okay.
Miguel, it's Andrew Effiong here. There are a couple of changes being proposed to the scheme. Many of you will be familiar with some of the characteristics of U.K. defined benefit pension schemes. We are moving from a 1/54th annual accrual rate for members to a 1/60th. We're also proposing to cap the annual salary increase that's eligible for pension accruals for people in service at RPI capped at 2%. That's a significant change from today. Also for pensions in payment for pensioners, we are reducing the RPI cap, if you like, there from 5% today to 2.5% in the future.
Okay. Okay.
Broadly speaking, what we're seeking to do here is to bring the costs of pensions for people in the defined benefit pension plan in line with that of those colleagues in the defined contribution pension plan while keeping the defined benefit plan open.
Okay. Understood. Perfect. Thank you very much.
We'll be able to quantify that more at a future call.
Okay. The second question, I think you have both mentioned that the likelihood of revising the outlook for 2015, that better EBITDA and revenue will also translate in higher dividend payments for the shareholders?
We have not reviewed our dividend policy. We are simply flagging that we may be able to generate better performance this year.
Okay, so for the time being, $300 million is what you have planned for 2015.
That's right, yes.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Once again, ladies and gentlemen, to register for a question, please press 0 followed by the 1 on your telephone keypad. There will be a pause while questions are being registered. Thank you. There appear to be no further questions. I'll return the conference back to you.
Well, great. It's a slightly balmy and slightly sunny afternoon here on a Friday in Heathrow. I hope it's equally pleasant where you are. I appreciate you letting us go to enjoy some of that nice weather. So thank you so much for the time you spent with us this afternoon. Thank you again for your support. If there are any other questions that may come up, please feel free to follow up with them with Anne Hearn. Otherwise, we look forward to speaking to you again in a few months' time. Have a good weekend. Bye-bye.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. This does conclude today's webinar. Thank you very much for participating. You may now disconnect your lines.